Hey, it's a local vocal show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And my guest today, back in by popular demand, the beekeeper, Keith Beck. Welcome, Keith.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. So in the bee world, before we get into bee world, a little brief, you've been on, the show before, of course.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And, if anybody wants, they listen to this one, they go, I'd kind of like to get a little bit more info of, about Keith. You can go to Listen On Demand, look up Keith Beck from,
That was late last summer.
Last summer. Yes. Yeah. Something like that. And talking bees, Keith, the reason you wanted to come back in is kind of the issues that are going out there right now. It happens in the spring, is that it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so kind of explain what's going on.
Sure. So the bees made it through the winter fine, and they're building up in the spring. There's a lot of flowering activity going on right now, and just God's way of nature building up the beehives. They get built up and they want to swarm. So if the hive gets too big for the space that they're in, they naturally want to split, and then half of that colony maybe move off to another area to start a new colony.
So what months do they become dormant?
Yeah, they about the end of October through October through the first part of March, they are pretty well just living inside the colony, consuming the honey and the pollen that they stored through the year.
I thought you got the honey.
I take my share, but I leave plenty of honey for the bees to live through the winter.
Okay, and yeah. Evidently they must make plenty of honey.
They do make plenty because there was a lot of honey sitting in my garage all winter long. Now it's all about sold out right now, but we're about ready to start harvesting again. So the bees build up coming right out of spring. In February, once the maple trees start blooming, you don't see it because it's all up in the air, but they create a little bit of pollen, and
yeah,
those bees start bringing that pollen in, and that triggers in nature, it triggers them to start building up. They know that spring is coming. The days are getting longer. There's pollen out there, and that's the protein food source for them. And once they start seeing pollen come in, they start building up lots of brood and building up for the spring flowers that we're seeing right now.
Hey, just briefly, why did you get into this hobby or this job or this work that you do?
Well,
because you're an engineer.
Yes, yeah.
And you got a full-time engineer. You got a regular job.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
You got people to take care of, but
right. Well, it's is a great opportunity where a swarm of bees showed up in my front yard back 11 years ago now, and I just had some time on my hands and needed some new adventures, and I think God put them there for me to grab a hold of, and it was a whole new learning experience for me. I've met a great network of people through the beekeeping hobby and the industry itself. So it just showed up in my front yard, and I grabbed the bull by the horns, so to speak, or the bee by the horns, and I got stung. And that's how I got stung.
And just touch on, if you would, explain why bees are so important to our ecosystem.
Yeah, and that's a case in point. There was just an article in Riverbender yesterday, and it's fairly common. We discussed it on the last interview, is that honeybees do a lot of pollinating of all of our crops, your fruits and vegetables, the almonds in Southern California. Without honeybee industry, we wouldn't have almonds to enjoy. So along with honeybees, you have flies and hummingbirds and bumblebees and mason bees. There's other things that do pollination as well. But honeybees really do the lion's share of pollinating of everything that flowers and blooms, pumpkins, for example.
Okay, just define pollinating, exactly what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So while the honeybees are in the blooms getting the nectar, which is how they make honey, they take nectar back to the beehive, they are also picking up pollen from the blooms of these plants. And as they go from bloom to bloom, that's the pollination process. So the plant can't pollinate itself with its own pollen. It has to have pollen from other plants. And the honeybees are the little machines that take that pollen and spread it all around to the other blooms.
And the pollen for the plant is food? Or what is
the
what?
Pollen for the plant is, you're going to tax my biology days, but it's the pollen is what inseminates the flower to make its fruit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's
yes. So it is inseminates.
Yes. Right. So that's kind of, again, nature's.
Without it, we have no fruit.
Yeah. So without pollinators, one third of the food that's on our plate would not exist.
Yeah.
And that's amazing as to how important pollinators are to us in our ecosystem and in the food that we eat.
I'm going to guess because I don't know, but if we didn't have pollinators, would it just be the wind that would blow it from plant to plant, or what?
Well, generally, like, for example, I'm most familiar with how pumpkins are pollinated. Mr. Frank Abbott, north of Kane, I have beehives on his property, and he said that a bloom on a pumpkin has to be visited 7 to 10 times by a honeybee to be fully pollinated. So without that process taking place, that pumpkin plant won't produce a pumpkin. So when I put my beehives on his property and the pumpkins are blooming, those little machines of bees flying around pollinate those blooms. Without the honeybees mechanically doing that, the wind blowing the pollen around just doesn't get it. It's not like, for example, corn. It drops its pollen on the silk and that itself pollinates itself.
Ah, okay.
But corn doesn't need honeybees to pollinate it. It naturally occurs, same way with other types of plants. But the pollinating plants have to have these honeybees and bumblebees and flies and hummingbirds to do that work
so
for us.
So basically our gardens, everything in a garden needs to be pollinated. And, so these bees, when they go into hibernation, and they stay in the hive all winter.
Yes.
Do any of them, do they come out occasionally just to check things out?
Well, they really don't hibernate. It's not, they don't shut down as like you would, a bear goes into hibernation where its metabolism shuts down. The honeybee colony stays inside the colony all winter long. Occasionally they come out to cleanse themselves. It's same way as going to the bathroom. So we use cleansing themselves on a nice warm day. Honeybees will leave the beehive. They'll do some housekeeping and they'll cleanse themselves, come back in the colony. But that's only if it's maybe a 60 to 70 degree day, warm day during the winter. But all through the winter, the honeybee colony clusters together and to stay warm. And year round, whether it's summer or winter, that cluster of honeybees that lives inside the colony is right at 92 degrees. So during the wintertime, they flex their muscles to generate heat, and that heat keeps the queen warm and a little bit of brood right in the center of that cluster. And for them to have energy to keep flexing their muscles, they eat the honey stores that I leave for them. So they eat their carbohydrates, they flex their muscles, they keep that nice and warm.
Okay. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Keith Beck with me. He's an engineer, but also a beekeeper. And talking about bees, birds and the bees. What's the lifespan of a bee?
Oh, that's and it's very different for our spring bee than when we were talking last summer. So a spring honeybee, this time of year, generally its complete life cycle for a worker bee, that is about 38 to 40 days.
Oh, not very long.
From the time it hatches, it has a whole myriad of jobs that it does inside the beehive of different things that it will do. The first thing it does is it cleans its cell. It will feed the queen, groom the queen. Its next duties is it generates wax, and that wax they use to make honeycomb. Its next step is it becomes a guard bee. So it sits at the front of the beehive, and it checks all the bees coming and going to make sure that it's their colonies, bees, are bringing in the resources that they need. And then its last part in its life is to go out and forage for whether it be water, pollen, or nectar, whatever the colony needs. That's what it brings in. And then ultimately the honeybee just deceases while it's doing its job to support the colony. So generally a honeybee, you know, in 40 days, it's out flying back and forth doing its job, and it's what it's happy to do. That's what they were designed to do and created to do. And they fall down in the field somewhere and die.
Now, so we have the worker bee, which you just described, and then there's the drone bee.
Yes, and that's the male bee.
And just one?
Generally, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of drone bees.
And it's usually determined, the worker bee colony, the colony is built of drones, worker bees, female worker bees, and then the queen.
Okay.
So we have three different castes inside the colony.
Okay.
So the drone bee's sole purpose is the colony determines how many drones it needs to support mating of a queen.
And just one queen.
Just one queen. So, and their sole
purpose.
And
she loves to mate.
Well, she does what she needs to do to create a bee colony. Yeah. So the drone's sole purpose is to mate a virgin queen, a new queen, get her fully mated so that she can go back to the beehive and lay eggs her whole life. So that's all the drone does. And they're not even able to feed themselves. The worker bees has to feed them. They're basically helpless. The only thing that they're good for is mating a new queen.
I'll be darned.
And so the colony determines how many drones they need depending on how much they feel that they need for mating of queens, for splitting of colonies and propagating the species. So it's amazing as to how they determine that.
And so how does there become one queen bee? I mean, how do they determine that?
Yeah, and again, this is the colony. A lot of people say, well, the queen rules the colony, which is not the case. The colony in itself, all the worker bees as a unit, they determine whether the colony splits or how many drones they produce. They also determine how big they get and how small they get. So as the queen, so we're talking about swarming. So we have this colony, it builds up, it feels crowded, it's time to split.
Yeah.
The worker bees will determine that it's time to split. And they will create special cells within inside the bee colony to make new queens. So they determine how many queens they need to make and when they need to make them. And the only difference between a queen bee and a worker bee is their diet. They're both female bees, their eggs, same genetics. And the difference is at day four, once the egg hatches, the worker bees are feeding them what they call queen jelly. Mm-hmm. And for the first 4 days, all larvae are fed this substance, this queen substance. And after day four, the difference is, and this is the amazing part, the queen, what they determine needs to be a queen bee, gets fed queen substance the whole stage of its larval development. And that makes a queen bee.
Okay.
A worker bee gets fed a combination of what they call bee bread, which is pollen and nectar that is kind of fermented. And that's how that makes a worker bee. So being fed two different diets expresses different things to develop to make it a queen bee versus a worker bee. And that's the amazing part. The queen has no other, she has, it's just pure chance. It has, they don't like all get together and vote who the queen's going to be.
Yeah.
They just go and do it. And once that queen gets hatched, takes about 16 days for a queen to hatch. She stays inside the beehive for a few days for her body, her exoskeleton to firm up. She'll do an orientation flight to know where that beehive is at. And then she will fly out into what they call all those drones we were talking about just a minute ago, for whatever reason, the drones from all the bee colonies, probably within a mile or two of that area, hang out in a certain area, and they call them drone congregation areas.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And the queen, whatever, how they know where, and year after year, these drone congregation areas are always in the same area.
They're, yeah. That's those, is that what you see sometimes where just be a big swarm of
bees?
Well,
that would be a swarm. That's okay. A little different deal. So the queen leaves the colony, and for whatever reason, she knows where these drone congregations are, areas are. She will fly to that area, and because of her pheromones and her scent and the way God designed drone bees, they see her coming. They've got huge, huge eyes, and all their purpose is to see this queen coming.
Yeah.
And their sole purpose is to mate that queen and get her fully mated for a lifetime. She'll store a lifetime's of sperm inside of her body. And once she's fully mated, she goes back to the colony, and she'll maybe never leave that colony again. All she's then doing is laying eggs and supporting her new colony.
Okay, so.
A lot of information. Yes. A lot of information.
Right. But let's get to the point what people should do and not do. They get all excited. They see a bunch of bees swarming in an area, you know, in something around their house or on a sign or just, you know, anywhere, you know, maybe in a tree in their yard or something. And they get scared and they think that they need to get rid of them. What should they do?
Well, and the timing of this interview is perfect because this is the time of year that these colonies, the bee colonies have built up and they've split. And they've swarmed.
Yeah.
And that's where you see this tornado of bees flying around. And at that point, they're just temporarily, they've just left the colony, and they're swarming. And the process is they'll generally go within 50 to 100 yards of where the parent colony is at. And they'll collect on a branch or a side of a building or a fence post or, you know, they'll just collect temporarily, and it'll look like the size of a basketball, and that's what we call just a cluster of bees, and they're just sitting there temporarily. Look, and while they're sitting there temporarily, it could be as little as a few hours, or it could be as many as a few days or a week. While they're sitting there in that temporary state, there are bees within the worker bees inside that new colony that's in the start are out looking. Scouting for a new place to build a home.
Okay, looking for a new place to go.
We would hope they don't find your house or the church up. St. Francis has a colony of bees living up in the top of the bell tower.
It's been there forever. Yeah, I know. We tried moving them once.
Yes,
but it didn't work. They end up staying there.
Yes. So they're looking for a new place to live. Ideally, they're going to find a hollow tree in a somewhere nearby, and that's kind of normally what will happen. They'll find a hollow cavity inside of a tree.
Okay, but I want you to give instructions for people that see this, or they go, you know, they're calling, they go, oh man, there's a swarm of bees, we need to do something.
Yes.
Tell them what to do.
So we've got the swarm of bees, you see it in your yard. There's two things you can do. You can wait a couple days, and hopefully they'll find them a new home, and they'll fly off. But generally, folks get a little uncomfortable. Most of the time, honeybees, when they're in that state, are very docile. They don't have their home colony to protect. So everybody's like, oh, I'm worried about them attacking me. Well, the one thing that won't happen is the honeybees won't attack you when they're in that state. They've engorged their bodies with honey because they got to pull some resources out of their parent colony. And when their bellies are full, they don't like to fight. They don't want to sting. All they want to do is protect the queen and that little bunch of bees until they find a new home. The other thing you can do is give a beekeeper a call. And when there's a lot of beekeepers in the Jerseyville area, even Doug Smith, the pest control guy, he won't spray them. He has all of our names. Give him a shout. He'll reach out to us, and we'll come collect them and take them out of your bush or on that fence post.
And put them someplace where they'll be able to pollinate.
Absolutely. So, yeah. No, that's a good point, is that statistically speaking, honeybees have only like a 25% chance of surviving on their own to go find their own home. when a beekeeper collects honeybees and puts them into their colony, we put them in areas where they have good food sources, water sources, good protection. We manage them, protect them for diseases. So calling a beekeeper is much more advantageous for the honeybee survival.
And for us.
And for us.
Yeah, so, for our fruits and vegetables and everything we have.
And making honey.
And making honey. That's right. Well, it's been very informative. Quite an education today.
A lot of information. Sorry it was sensory overload.
No, it's great. So they could call Smith Pest Control, or they could call a beekeeper. What's your number?
Yeah, my number is 618-402-8567.
Okay. And if, of course, you sell honey. You have honey?
Yes.
So they could call the same number if they want honey?
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And you've got a sign on Fairgrounds Road?
Yep, on West Fairgrounds.
West Fairgrounds. It says honey for sale.
Local honey for sale.
And you have it right there on your front porch.
Yeah, just pop up on the porch and you can do your shopping right there and throw your cash in the box. And if you want to chat, if I'm home, knock on the door and we'll sit down and talk bees for a while.
Okay.
Or whatever you want.
Right. Well, Keith, thanks so much. Keith Beck, the beekeeper.
You're
thanks
welcome.
For coming in today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There we go. Hey, Keith, before we close, tell us what people should not do when they see these bees swarming.
Awesome. Yeah. There's other than calling your beekeeper, whatever you should not do is don't spray them with any chemicals, because at that point you've severely compromised the health of those honeybees and they're probably most likely going to die. So at that point, just let them be and give us a shout.
Just leave them alone?
Leave them alone.
Make a phone call?
Yes, sir.
And then, help our ecosystem.
And we'll take care of it from there.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.